interesting enough, March is Nutrition Month, and it's going to be about this very thing, learning more about food and where it comes from, which brings me to introduce my special guest, Sarah Creighton-Weeb. Sarah, 3 years ago, a report revealed staggering child obesity numbers by CTV. It said that childhood obesity had become an epidemic, which means Canadian kids will, for the first time in recorded history, live shorter lives than their parents, this report warned. And just 2.5 weeks ago, on February 10th, Jamie Oliver, who is also known as the Naked Chef, gave an outstanding presentation announcing his wish, which was to educate every child about food. And more specifically, he went on to say he wished to help to sustain a strong, sustainable movement to educate every child about food, inspire families to cook again, and empower people everywhere to fight obesity. His bottom line is to get back to cooking and learning about foods, which, from what I understand, Sarah, is the same approach that you take with your clients and your nutritional workshops. Is this correct?
It's exactly. It's right on. I love that point that he made, because we really have to change the way we think about food and really get back to the basics. And I love that this year's Nutrition Month theme is, you know, where does our food come from? And we live in a perfect community for that. When you think about it, we're in a rural area, so we're surrounded by farms, and we can really, you know, really get back and learn where our food is coming from and appreciate it. And, I mean, yeah, the obesity epidemic, I mean, it's with children, and it's very concerning when we talk about our children. And, of course, it's with adults, and I do one-on-one, or I was doing one-on-one counseling, and predominantly weight management. So I would get back, really, it's about getting back to the basics with my clients, and it's cooking and meal planning. And I think we all need to be reminded about that. I need to be reminded about that. It's about, you know, sitting down and planning your week, saying, you know, you plan your life. Why wouldn't you plan your meals? It's the essence of life. I mean, that's what sustains us.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's not always the most romantic, exciting thing to be thinking about.
No.
But that's what it is. It's sitting down and saying, you know, choosing one or two recipes and figuring out, you know, the ingredients that you have in hand, making the list, and going to the store, buying the groceries, and coming back and actually making the meal. And it's, you know, if you're someone that eats out, it's learning, you know, how to eat healthy when you get out there as well, because it's a challenge out there. The portion sizes are huge. And you especially notice that when you cross the border, you know, when you go into the U.S., it's phenomenal, the portion sizes. So we have a lot stacked up against us when we're trying to combat the obesity problem. And, of course, there's the whole fast food environment. Even the word, when you think about the word fast, I mean, right away, that's, you know, one of the ways to deal with losing weight is to slow down our eating, you know, so the hunger signals set in. Well, you can't do that normally in a fast food environment. And really, our environment has many cues that trigger us to eat. And I love this author, Brian Wansink. He wrote a book called Mindless Eating, and I really would recommend it. It's a fun read. It's an easy read, but it's really, and it kind of points the obvious, but you know, one of the things he speaks about is the fast food environment. The lighting is so bright and it's noisy. And so that tends to make you eat faster, and they're trying to get you out of there as fast as possible. And you're not just eating fast, but you're eating fast, calorie-loaded food. And this is often where we take our kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to keep that in mind, to become aware of the cues in the environment around you. And that's also about... you know, and let me step back for a minute, and, you know, he does provide a solution. While he's providing all these examples of how our environment affects us, it's not a hopeless situation. There is a solution. And, you know, he himself says we need to get back to having balanced, planned meals. I like, I'll just quote what he says. He says, a standardized rhythm to one's dining patterns means fewer cues to overeat. In other words, if we plan our meals, we have them regularly, and we have our meals, and then we put the food away, there's less likelihood that we're going to overeat in between. I don't know if that's oversimplifying or not. And that's kind of the approach that I take with my clients. And in terms of the schools, when I'm going into the schools, I was trying to help the cooks to make the menus healthier. And, you know, part of that is learning, and I do this with my clients as well, is taking a recipe that you have already and trying to find ways to make it healthier, whether that be cutting back on the amount of oil in a dessert, for example, replacing up to a third of it with applesauce, trying to include more whole grains in your baking as well. You can replace up to half a cup of white flour with whole grain flour. So there are little tricks that you can do to make your recipes healthier.
So Sarah, you had mentioned that when you go into the school system, you've been helping change the menus. And I know myself, I'm a single mom and I have a business and I'm quite involved with the community. And of course, my daughter's activities. And I must admit that I've gone from making lunches last year when she was in a different system to now feeling more comfortable allowing her to eat at the cafeteria, because as you had said, you had changed the menu, and I hadn't seen the menu before because Sterling was in a different system last year, but now I've seen the menu within this system as in the Eastern Township School Board, and it, to me, it looks balanced and healthy. And I was just wondering, is it the Eastern Township School Board that you are involved in, and what changes have you made, and you know, how do you feel this can help the parents?
Well, yes, it was the Eastern Township School Board, so I went in, and there are actually 20 elementary schools, and I went in, and there are two high schools. Anyway, I went into the schools, and I had a list, a criteria checklist that I went through. So looking at, you know, making sure that that the meals included at least four, well, they had to have four of the food groups, and to have, you know, at least one vegetable, have a variety of fruits and vegetables, I mean, nothing fried, no fries anymore, you know, nothing fried, to try and replace the high salt items like, you know, like sausages and salami, well, those not only high in salt but high in fat, and try to have leaner counterparts, things like that. So, and every school is different, eh? Because I don't want to get into the details of it because you'll have to read my report. But every school has its strengths and weaknesses, and it's got to do with whether the services are being catered out or whether they're being hired by the school board, and they're challenged that way. So it's dealing with budget constraints. So it's not always easy to make some of these changes. But what I found on the whole is that a lot of the schools were really getting on board. And I know for a fact I'm very comfortable with having my daughter eat in our cafeteria. So I think parents can be comforted in knowing that at pretty much all the schools, most of the schools in the Eastern Township School Board, that the cafeteria meals are quite healthy. In terms of, and it wasn't just about the menu either, though. That wasn't the only thing I was doing. I was also going in and evaluating whether, you know, to what extent the school was promoting healthy eating with the kids and with the families. And so they do try to, like I, for instance, went in and spoke to my daughter's grade 2 class to talk about healthy eating with the kids. And so that's something they're doing. They also have moi je coque cinq fruits et légumes. I can't remember what the English saying is for that. But trying to make sure that they eat five fruits and vegetables. There's like a contest for that. I think it's a week in March or February or something. And for a week, the kids have to keep track of how many fruits and vegetables they're eating, and they have to do this at home, so the parents are involved as well, so that's a way of pulling in the parents.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah, so just trying to promote healthy eating as well. I mean, it's great to have the cafeteria on board, but how do we make sure that it's being translated and the information is, the kids are getting educated and the parents are getting educated? So that was another part of it. And now, of course, there are some schools that are actually starting to have cooking classes. I know for a fact that Sutton, the cook there, is giving cooking classes to the kids. It's happening in Cowansville. So at least the kids are learning how to cook again, which is great. And again, they bring that home. They bring that home and they show, oh, look, Mom, Dad, this is what, you know, this is how you make such and such. And so they're actually bringing it home as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. So they're really getting involved, and I suppose they're bringing those ideas and those recipes home, and they can actually cook for their own families.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. My daughter actually used to go to the Sutton School, and I'm a paper cook myself, and had replaced Karen on occasion, and I was so impressed with the menu at that school.
That's a very unique situation they have. She's a trained chef.
Yes.
I ate there as well. I visited there, and oh my gosh, I mean, it's just beautiful, the food that they had there.
Yeah, I had come from the Eastman Spot at the time after working in that kitchen, and I felt so privileged that Karen had asked me to help her when she was unable to work her shifts, and they are rated one of the top three, I believe, in Quebec.
You're right. Yeah. And actually, I have to say Knowlton Academy as well. They won an award this year as well. The school board.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, because
she does really well, the cook there, and tries to do a lot of things from scratch. You know, she makes her own bread, and I mean, I think that's amazing, because, you know, whatever we make, as much as we can make things homemade from scratch, the better. But I know I have two young children, and I'm working, and I don't have time to do that all the time either. But, you know, whenever we can, homemade is best.
Yes,
and I like
agree.
One dietitian that always uses the phrase, try to get back to the farm, you know, as close to the farm as possible.
And we live in farm country.
Yeah, we hope that we could do that, eh?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you mentioned Knowlton Academy. I had actually considered at one point applying for that position when it came up, so I'm so pleased that it has taken that direction. That's fantastic. So how do you manage things, corners that you've been able to cut that have helped get, you know, a meal on the table without, you know, spending a fortune in, or time getting there?
I know how challenging it is to get a healthy meal on the table. And I also know how challenging it is. And one of the things I recommend is to eat as a family or eat at the table, you know, whether a family is, you know, four kids, two parents, or one parent, one child, or whether it's a grandmother and a child, it's like family. I mean, the definition of family has changed over the years. I mean, just eating at the table, turning the TV off. And I know how challenging that is. You're tired at the end of the day. I'm tired at the end of the day. I'm trying to get my daughter's homework done. They want to watch TV. They want to play on the computer. It's No, but really, you really want them to, because then you could have some peace and quiet.
Yeah.
So trying to manage all that. I mean, what I do is, one of the things I do sometimes is I try and involve my daughters in the meal preparation. You have to be in the mood to do that, because often it's not really technically helping. It makes the process longer, but you know what? There are a lot of rewards to it, because they feel so proud of themselves that they're helping. And helping could be even as simple as opening a bag of frozen vegetables and pouring it in a pot. Or sometimes if we're having beans, I get my daughters to end the beans, and I get a plastic knife and they can cut them. And it takes forever, but you know what? They're busy. They're out of your hair. It's quiet. They're happy. They feel proud of themselves. You feel proud of yourself, because you're actually involving them in the food preparation and involving them and helping them feel important. So it kind of really helps all around. And in terms of getting that meal on the table, it really does come back to planning. In the beginning, you feel like, oh, this is such a waste of time. It takes so long. I got to, like, see what I have on hand. I have to find the recipe, make the list, go out. But you know what? In the end, it's done. And then you've planned it for the week. You don't necessarily have to stick rigidly to it, but at least you know there's something planned so that when you come home, you don't have to worry about what you're going to have for dinner. And another little trick that I do is sometimes in the morning, if I have a little time or just before bed, I'll chop up some of the vegetables that I'm going to have, or I'll even just measure the rice and put it in a bowl and cover it. It's just one less thing you have to do. So if you can try and do as much preparation in advance, that really saves a lot. But like I said, it really does come back to planning. And another trick I do is, there is nothing wrong with buying frozen prepared meals. Yes, they often are higher in salt and often can be a little bit on the tasteless side, but I mean, you can always choose ones that are lower in salt. For example, Loblaws has a blue menu that are lower in salt, lower in fat. Choose one of those and just throw them in the freezer, and that's something like a last, you know, if you really don't know what you're at a loss of what to have, you can pull that out and there it is. So these are just little tricks, you know, and even if some of the meals you have might not have as many vegetables, because I recommend half your plate vegetables, and most of these frozen packaged meals don't usually have enough, you can add them. You can add to them. So just some little tricks. And like I said, don't, as much as I recommend homemade is best, you're allowed to go to the frozen pre-prepared meals every now and then. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I can relate to that. When I see a sale on whole wheat pizza, I try to stay with whole wheat as much as I can. I will go out and buy a bunch of them, and I stick them in the freezer. And if I haven't had time to prepare a meal in advance for Sterling's, she has my daughter has a girl, or I should say a woman, university student who meets her at the bus twice a week, when I haven't had a chance to prepare the meals in advance, I have those, you know, backups for them. The other thing that I'm a soccer mom, and I have, you know, classes that I teach, fitness classes that I teach, and I am involved in an animal foundation here in the townships. And so on occasion, of course, we're faced with the fact that we can't even get home to sit at the, get home, let alone sit at the table. So I will, you know, pack an additional lunch or picnic, if you will, for us in advance or even on the fly, and have it with us when we're there. Because I can't always afford, I rarely eat out, and sometimes we do, but we're somewhat particular about where we go. And if we don't have that choice, then we'll have our lunch with us, and we'll eat.
That's a great idea.
Wherever we are.
And it's fun because it's like a little picnic, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of become a ritual, if you will, of how we, I guess, survive health-wise in our busy lives, my daughter and I. So.
And that's, you know, and that also would be maybe less stressful if you're trying to rush it at home.
Yes.
You bring it with you, and then you can actually kind of relax and have a little fun picnic together. It's a great idea.
Exactly. And even though Sterling does, my daughter, again, it does, for the most part, now have her lunches at the school as she did when she was at Sutton. I still pack her because she goes to a tutor, directly to a tutor twice a week, another lady, and I pack her, you know, a lunch box with snacks in it, so that in between her breakfast and her lunch, and then in between her lunch and her supper, she has those healthy snacks that she can dig into, if you will. And she doesn't put her body into starvation mode.
Yeah, and how old is she?
She's in grade 2 as well. She's 7.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they really... I find with my 7-year-old is that she might fill up really quickly, but like half an hour later, she's hungry again. So yeah. I find she kind of needs small, frequent like she's got to get those snacks in, and I think most kids really do need those snacks in between the meals as well. They expend so much energy, and they're growing. So
yeah.
I think it's great. You really need to include those snacks and try and, you know, make them as healthy as you can, you know. Try and stay away from those drinks and those Gatorades. They don't need Gatorade.
No, I agree.
I'm always surprised when I see kids with Gatorade. Why are you giving them Gatorade? That's only for when you're doing really heavy endurance activity for longer than an hour. But I see kids with a bottle of Gatorade in their lunch.
And even now, I'm actually training the Bishop's University football team, and I've talked to them about Gatorade, and I have another approach that I take instead of Gatorade, and I'm hoping that some of them will get on board with that. So yes, I agree with you there. And the other thing is that snack, my experience is that a lot of people in say my generation and older have thought of as being a five-letter word, or depending on how you spell it, in that it's a bad thing to do. But in actuality, it's actually a good thing to do. You agree?
Absolutely. I haven't really come across many people who would necessarily think it was a bad thing. Maybe more adults. In terms of kids, I find most people seem to provide snacks for their kids. I find I see that more in with some of my adult clients. They're pretty, like, adult clients, they're pretty proud of themselves that they don't snack between meals. And I want to say, you know, it's actually okay. In fact, it might help you not overeat.
Yes. Yeah, well, I agree, because, for one, it keeps your metabolism moving. And but I think a lot of them associate snack with unhealthy, like, you know, a bag of chips or a chocolate bar, whereas when I refer to a snack, I'm talking about, you know, a bran bar or carrot and celery, the carrots and celery, or a piece of fruit, along those lines. And I know that my daughter really appreciates it, and for the first time, and I can't tell you how long, yesterday I forgot her snack on the counter, and I felt terribly guilty about it. So she's become quite accustomed to having that choice. Yeah, so Sarah, thank you so much for your time. I know, as you said, you're busy, and I know your career is very demanding, and I really appreciate you sharing your experience and your professional efforts with us, and I'm positive that the community will appreciate it as well.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
So take care, and we will touch base again.